Each of our readings today is meant to draw our attention to a very important question that Jesus attempts to teach his disciples. Namely, what to do about sinners? What do we do with all those other people? You know, the sinners, not us, the other people. It was a very important question in Jesus' time because notice he's addressing this to Simon, a Pharisee. See, the Pharisees were ones that really did think that they were without sin. They kept the law perfectly, so they thought. All 613 commandments of the law, they did it. Therefore, they were without sin according to the law, and they were perfect. So there's those guys, and then there's everybody else. The riffraff, the other people out there, the sinners. What does Jesus think about those sinners? It's an important question, and that's what Jesus wants to teach his apostles and ultimately us here today. We begin with our first reading, the story of King David. Now, King David is known as the greatest king in the history of Israel. He is by far the most successful, the holiest one, a man that God says literally is a man after his own heart. And yet, in our first reading today, we read how Nathan the prophet had to confront David because David, instead of going out with his soldiers as he should have been, was slouching back at home, happened to spy a woman undressing, taking a bath on the roof, decided, I want that, commits adultery, realizes that she's married, and not only married, but married to his best friend and soldier in his army. So what does he do? He decides to cover up his adultery. He decides to kill her husband and then take her as his own wife. Not too good for someone who's considered the holiest king in the history of Israel. What on earth would God do to someone that he has specifically chosen to lead his people? And mind you, he is supposed to lead in holiness, first of all. And David has become a liar, an adulterer, and a murderer, all within just a couple days. What does God think of such people? Well, ultimately, David goes down in history as being one of the greatest kings even after this, not because he didn't sin. He did sin in a big way, but more importantly, David is known for his repentance. He writes famously the Miserere, the 51st Psalm, where he's praying to God, wash me, O Lord, from my sin. Cleanse me from my iniquities. My sin is always before me. I have done evil in your sight. David freely admits what he's done, and he asks God for forgiveness, which our reading tells us today that on God's part, he does forgive David. In fact, he goes on to make him a great king. What does God think of sinners? Well, apparently in David's case, and we can hardly imagine worse sin than what David did, God is merciful. He gives David another chance, not without punishment. David is indeed punished, it says, but God ultimately forgives him. We fast forward then to our gospel. If we really want to know what Jesus thinks about sinners, our gospel is a beautiful example. Because again, we have the Pharisees who, interestingly enough, almost comically, Simon, it says, is thinking to himself, if this were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this is, that she's a sinner. Meanwhile, Jesus knows exactly what Simon is thinking because he is a prophet and more than a prophet. And he turns to Simon. He's like, I know what you're thinking, Simon. Do you see this woman? Yeah, I have something I'd like to say to you, Simon. And then he goes on to give us this beautiful teaching. Who loves more? It's not that we don't sin, but it's that God is merciful. And the more, ultimately, that he has to forgive, the more loving, therefore, we should be. It's an amazing kind of view of God. God who created everything, who created us, who has every reason to expect everything from us, ultimately expects that we will sin. He knows we're going to sin. In fact, St. Paul tells us in our second reading that if we could be perfect under the law, like the Pharisees thought they were, then we'd have no need for Christ. But rather, it's precisely because we can't be perfect that ultimately we need a Savior. And that's what makes Jesus so important for us. What does Jesus think about sinners? Well, it's a good question because that's us. I mean, he loves us. He wants to come and show us his mercy. But notice it demands a response on our part. that repentance of David, and ultimately some kind of penance to make up for our sins. This woman that comes into Scripture today is amazing. Notice that Jesus kind of gets on Simon about these things of, you didn't wash my feet, or, you know, anoint my head. These were all traditional Jewish kind of hospitality customs. Simon has invited Jesus to his house. Normally, when a guest came to your house, the first thing that would happen is you would offer him water for his feet. Dusty roads, they're wearing sandals, clean all over except for the feet. They would need to wash the feet, and the host would offer water. Apparently, Simon does not do that. The host should have then allowed some ointment, some oil to anoint the parched and dry head. Apparently, Simon does not do that either. It would be customary to greet a guest in your house with a kiss of peace. Simon does not do that either. Simon does not have this love in his heart. He doesn't even have good hospitality. He doesn't care about his guest. And then in comes this woman who is supposedly the outcast, the one that is to be avoided. And she gets right everything that Simon got wrong. Not only does she welcome Jesus, but she washes his feet with her tears, kisses his feet, anoints his feet with oil. This is a woman that Jesus itself identifies as one who loved much because her sins were forgiven. That's the great joy of the Christian life. It doesn't matter what our sins are, how big they are. Jesus says, bring them to me. You can be a liar, an adulterer, and a murderer like King David. He will be forgiving so that we can love much. So that's our great call today. Can we recognize that, yes, we are sinners? Can we even maybe expect that we would sin? That's one of the things that in the church's wisdom, she points out to us that if we get down on our sins, if we really just get frustrated and mad when we sin, it's probably just because of pride. Yes, we should try to avoid sin, but if we get really, really surprised and worked up over the fact that we sinned, it's probably because we're disappointed in ourselves, we didn't live up to our standards, we're embarrassed. If we really love God and understand His love for us, then when we sin, we should quickly move on, go to confession, expect to sin. Jesus knows what we're made of. He expects that we will need to repent many, many times. So really, before us today are two ways. The way of King David, the way of this woman in the gospel, repentance, or the way of Simon, the Pharisee, looking down on everybody else, blind ultimately to our own sin, but looking at everybody else's sin. Jesus says that the woman in the gospel gets it right. Her many sins are forgiven, and the result is that she loves much. The truth is, God loves us much, even not just in spite of our sins, but because of our sins. He knows how much we need Him. I always get kind of bewildered when I look at the apostles. Jesus chose each of them, knowing that they would abandon Him. He chose Judas, knowing that he would betray Him. He knows all their sins, and He chose them anyway. And the same is true of us. He knows all our sins, and He chooses us anyway. So, David or Simon? That's really the choice for us today. May we, who have sinned much, come to the one who is love. And having our sins forgiven, may we, like the woman in the gospel, be known as those who love much.